This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
Exactly.
And our next guest, who is a regular, is a very strong woman who has just released yet another book, miraculously. I don't know how you have the time or the like inspiration. It's amazing. And this one is all about women. It's called Daughters of Melbourne, and we're speaking with Marie Cooty. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Eve. Thanks for having me. Hi, David.
Hello. Hello. Oh, here you go again. You're like, do you sleep?
I'm incorrigible, aren't I? I've got to stop this sometime.
How long did this book take to put together?
This one's been on the desk for a long time.
Right.
It was interrupted by a few other projects like Azaria and so on. And when things like that book started, I had to really commit to it and interviews and things and travel and stuff. And so this one's been really cooking since about 2017,
18. Right, okay. Now, describe to our listeners what it's about to begin with, because it's a few points to be made here.
There are. It's a book called Daughters of Melbourne, A Guide to the Invisible Statues of Melbourne, because when I first started writing on Melbourne's history in, 1999 or something, I thought I'd add a chapter into that book back then, which was called The Melbourne Book History of Now, on Melbourne's beauty. So I thought I'd skip around the city and take some photographs of our beautiful statuary just to make a lovely photo essay of this of Melbourne's beauty. And I discovered there were no women. There was
statues.
Yes.
Right.
There was Frances Joan of Arc. There's Britain's nurse Edith Cavell. There's an Italian nun, Catherine of Siena. There's
Queen Victoria.
Queen Victoria. There's mythical Diana and her hounds. There's some nymphs and some nudes and a mermaid, but not one single actual Melbourne woman in statuary.
Is that because it was back in an era when statues were being made? Because when do they stop putting
There's Joan of Arc. Oh, they do it all the time. They put new ones up all the time.
Do they?
Yeah. When I was hunting around back then, I heard rumour of a statue of Mary Gilbert, right? So I dug around and found her in the hothouse shed of the Fitzroy Gardens underneath polystyrene sheets and fertiliser tins.
Really?
A half figure, just a torso, of Mary Gilbert, who was the first and only white woman in the colonial invasion boat of 1835, John Pascoe Faulkner's ship. And she arrived pregnant, had a baby 2 days later. So she was kind of the only white girl in town back then. And then in 2006, Kylie and Nellie Melba were added to our statuary ranks on the windblown end of the pier at Docklands when no one had ever seen them. And the point is moot anyway, because they were moved three, four years later in a reconfiguration of the Docklands development and disappeared, Kylie into storage and Melba back up to the Coldstream family property.
Right.
And in 2007, I think, Lady Gladys Nichols appeared. She's an Aboriginal woman, a social reformer and activist of great renown, much, much, much loved figure who devoted her life to the support and nurturing and comfort of Aboriginal women and children especially, but Aboriginal people who in the inner city suburbs of Collingwood and Fitzroy and so on, where, a lot of Aboriginal people found themselves displaced into these inner city suburbs after having been removed from missions and God knows what.
Yeah.
And so she's a great character. And her figure is in bronze, thank God, up at the Parliament, near Parliament House. So that's a tally, I'll just draw a line here, of 1.5.
Right.
Shocking.
This issue of statuary has gained a bit of profile in the last 5 years after the Me Too movement and the international kind of reappraisal of statuary in the light of slavery and domination, colonial domination, that sort of stuff. And so more voices are coming on. Angela Pippos, the sports journalist, she's been, mentioning this as well. And a woman named historian named Claire Wright, has started a thing called A Monument of One's Own. And it looks like Claire's got funding for a statue of Zelda de Prano to go to Trades Hall, which is fantastic because Zelda's a legend, a campaigner for equal pay. She started off as a, you know, activist in the labour movement and found that it was just as sexist in the labour movement as it was anywhere else. And so she sort of headed out on her own to campaign for equal pay. She chained herself to the Commonwealth Building.
Right.
And she used to offer the tram conductor 75% of the fare to illustrate the gender pay gap, which I thought was pretty good.
Great. Yeah. Wow. Women just haven't, you know, have almost been wiped so much in history,
yeah,
haven't they?
Yeah.
And that's why this book is so important, because it's their wonderful story and some Indigenous women's story, terrible mm-hmm. stories, mm-hmm. but, you know, they
kept on. A lot of good ones too.
And forging, yeah. Yep. And you know, like, and household names that we know as mm-hmm. well. So there's the wonderful story, but then you being an artist as well, a visual artist, you've done, because there's little photos of them,
yeah.
but then on the opposite page, you've actually done your interpretation
of
them.
Yeah. And the reason for that is because they're invisible in our landscape. And we don't see these women enough, and we don't recognise them as incredibly valuable citizens. I wanted to bring them alive in a way that would attract new eyes to this genre, because it's not a, you know, history, you know, doesn't necessarily grab everyone. So I need to make it attractive, and I need to catch people's attention. When you're documenting history, you tend to be dealing with sepia photos, old sepia photos, and really sort of cruddy newspaper images with screen dot on them or torn corners and all that sort of thing. And the media makes the person feel otherworldly and not relevant anymore.
Mm.
And they are relevant. So I wanted to put them all into the same visual language and represent them all in a sort of a graphic way, so they all feel part of the same pantheon of women, you know, like whether they're alive today like Magda Zabanski or whether they're long gone like Henrietta Dugdale. To me, they're just as valuable and just as incredible contributors to the culture and the commerce and the community that we enjoy now, because they're layers, you know. They've laid down this texture in the past to build the culture that's here, and we all enjoy that now. But you know, I don't think it's cool that we just ignore who their contribution and who they were.
Yeah. Well, I've got to congratulate you on this book, and the artwork is just beautiful.
Thank you,
and we'll
David.
Get to that a little bit later, because something's happening next week. This week with the artwork.
This week. Ooh,
How many females are in this book?
Well, it's 50 minus the ones that are create a good story for radio.
Right.
Okay. I can't go too far into some of it.
Right.
But a couple of managers thought this book was too feminist for their,
Oh,
really?
Huh? Oh, controversial.
And I would still to this day wonder whether those women were actually even asked.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the problem with one of the, well, now I get myself into trouble, can't I? There was another woman who rubbed herself out, if you like. She actually said to me, I'm not important, I didn't do anything great, it's just, you know, it was my life. And
which is lovely and humbling, but you know, like, oh, come on.
Exactly.
Come on, you should have stood up and
really,
encountered.
I think this is interesting, David, because women have often been raised to be modest and, you know, not push themselves and step back a little and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it's a huge mistake, because it robs the next generation of really good examples. I actually, through this book, and I did say to this woman, look, I hate to say this to you, but I'm actually asking all women to take responsibility for their achievements so they can share that with the next generation. Because when I look around at the, you know, really appalling treatment some women receive today, I think it's a lot to do with the fact that we don't have real live, actual specific role models everywhere. We have generics. We have nudes in paintings and nudes in statues, and we have good old Alexa and Siri. These things are informing what it is to be a woman, but there's nothing specific about any of them. They're not real lives. They're not real people celebrated for real work, real achievement, real contribution, real...
And quite passive.
Yeah, yeah, it's ridiculous. And a lot of them, like Alexa and Siri, for example, who are informing femininity, aren't even female and not created necessarily by females either, and are altering that definition of femininity in a way that I think we need this rebalancing, you know, with these fantastic women we have in this. For me, the work I do about Melbourne's about making meaning in my place and making connecting with the culture that's here and how it happened and I think it's important that people who contribute to that get the chance to be recognised for it.
Now, the one other thing that I've been really blown away with this book, there have been the surprises of people who are still alive. And you had a launch for the book a couple of weeks ago now. Yeah. And there were a couple of people there that I went, whoa. And one being Margaret Rodenight. Now, a lot of people might not know. Then there will be other people that go, oh, my God, I remember with her, you know, like afro hair, very tall woman.
Yes,
still fabulous. Is a very tall
striking,
woman.
Striking, formidable figure of a woman.
And you know, like a sort of a blues folk singer.
Yep.
That was, you know, like very big in the underground music
world. Huge cult figure, cult figure. And she's a curator of songs. She's a wandering troubadour. She collects songs from all around the world. And
Keep going.
She has cultural standing here. She's connected at the very roots of Melbourne's music scene, because back in the 50s and 60s, those clubs, there were folk clubs and jazz clubs, yeah?
Yep.
And there were, in those clubs, women like Margaret Rodenight and Judith Durham and Judy Jarks and even Wendy Saddington later, who walked up to the stage and said, I want to sing a song with a band.
Mm.
That's the only way they could get forward was to say, can I hello at me again? Mm. I'm here again. I want to sing a song with the band.
Yeah.
And that's how they all started, every one of them.
There's been a couple of messages. I'm sitting a little bit too far away. Eve, is there anything you would like to share with us?
We've had quite a few messages come through about different bits and pieces throughout the show. So thank you in particular to Celeste and also Agnes of Coburg who have messaged in. Agnes, I think it was, had just mentioned that another woman of note that there was a statue of in Melbourne was St. Mary of the Cross MacKillop in ACU Fitzroy.
Yes.
Who she said was a woman ahead of her time, social services and education for the marginalised.
That's true.
And lovely Celeste has also said that as soon as Daughters of Melbourne comes into the library, she will be reserving it and is very keen to read it.
Lovely.
And then a few other messages about a guest who's coming up soon, so we'll come back to that one. Right. But thank you to everyone who's messaged in the meantime.
Okay. Now, also at the launch the other night was this gorgeous a woman who's a mathematician.
Alison Doig / Harcourt.
Tell us about her.
Her maiden name was Doig, her married name, and Professor Harcourt has been her name for a long, long time. She, a bit like Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind.
Yeah.
She's the queen of the algorithm. And she and her colleague, Elsa Land, would compute and prove algorithms by hand.
Mm.
They were computers. That's what they used to call. You know, you've seen that movie with the African American women
that
at NASA.
We went on air. Yeah.
So you know, you lay out the equation and they prove it by hand. So you've got to iterate these things. Yeah,
and it was all women that were doing it because men thought that was below them to do it, but these women were very smart
Alison had some brainwave insight into while she was working about an algorithm that would become, you know, critical to infrastructure and trafficking and God knows what. As it's now used the world over for managing and handling storage inventory and all of the rest of it.
And was she well known in her day?
No, she had to. They both had to. Her and her colleague Ailsa had to submit their paper as anonymous, sort of, you know, as unrecognisably as possible, A.H. Land and A.G. Doig, so that no one would know they were women, because you didn't get published if you were women. Yeah.
And what did she say to you when you went to her about putting her in this book? And how did you find her?
I'm like a terrier, David. That sounds interesting, and I'll just chase them down. Find out how. I think I could be a good detective.
We'll change the topic soon about her. But what did somebody like her that it's led a very sort of not in the public forum?
No.
What did she say?
And she is one of those characters who was taught to be modest and take the back seat and publish under whatever, as long as it's published and give the credit to the nearest. She was very, very chuffed and. Very great. It's sort of overly grateful. It was ridiculous. Of course, I'm the one who's grateful that she's going to, participate in the book with me and tell me about her story and her life. Mm. I needed to make these stories quite short because I didn't want to go, as I said before, I need to make history snappy a little bit to get people in. And then hopefully they'll see how fascinating this stuff is and how it lives now. It lives right now, and how you can, immerse yourself in it. And it's such fun. I have so much fun with history. I can't tell you. I've been having such a blast with it for 20 years.
Wow. Mm.
And also how broad all of these women's contributions were.
Yes.
The next one I was going to mention, Elizabeth Chong, who I spoke to at. If you don't know who she is, do you know, Eve, who she is? A celebrity chef on TV.
She was our first real celebrity chef. I suppose she made it her life's goal to elevate Chinese cuisine. Back in the day when we would take our saucepans to the local Sam Wow and get chop suey, in our own saucepans, she thought that was all fine, but she was a bit miffed that Australians did not see Chinese cuisine in the same light they saw French cuisine. Mm. Mm. And she it really rankled her pride because she's a very proud Chinese woman living here, grew up here and had a terrific family history. Her father was a manufacturer of all kinds of food, from roasting nuts and vegetables and all sorts of things to the first inventor of the dim sum and the chico roll. But
really? Yeah, her father? Yeah. Wow.
He was Wing Lee Food Company.
And was that the ones in South Melbourne Market?
Yeah. I think they are an add-on, but he was the first to actually manufacture. And he made he made the thicker skin on them so that they would last to go off to the miners.
So they wouldn't fall to bits. Okay.
Anyway, she's great. She's a fantastic woman, and she made it her life's mission to elevate Chinese cuisine in the minds of Australians, and she started to teach. And she taught, 65,000 people or something. I don't know. Can't remember the numbers. But she used to go on with Bert Newton and have a hoot of cooking sessions with him on Good Morning Today or whatever it was, Good Morning Australia.
And I bet you she was chuffed because, does she do
anything
anymore?
She's 94 and she's still.
94?
And she is still, I think she's 94. She'll kill me if she's not. She's 91, something like that. She just did a cooking and speaking tour with three or four other chefs called Double Happiness. She's still going.
Wow.
She's still, And Alison, even though she's kind of getting older, Alison Harcourt, she's still going. And, 90 now is not what it used to be either. So you've got living history all around us, so we just ignore.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. But then I love it, the fact that there are people who are no longer with us, Dame Anelli, that you've done an amazing portrait of her years ago, and it's sold to an American in the last 12 months. Mm. You've done her, the world famous opera singer, and Judith Durham, of course, with the Seekers. Yeah. And you were saying off air that, you've been chatting with her and she's a hoot. And
she's great. And she, the Seekers was only 4 years of her life, really.
Years? Yeah. Is that all?
Yeah. And they knocked off the Beatles, they knocked off the Kinks and the Stones off the number one charts in the States.
Yep. 200,000 people admire Music Bowl.
Yeah.
200,000 people.
She is an absolute icon treasure. And she had a career before the Seekers. She had a fantastic jazz and folk career in the clubs and with her own bands in the 50s and 60s. And she was kind of fell into the Seekers because they asked a couple of people and they asked her and she said, maybe. And before she knew it, because Ron Tudor recorded her solo and then he recorded her with the Seekers, and before she knew it, they had put taken her name. She had Judith Durham billing everywhere in the other bands. Yeah. Judith Durham and the Yarra Yarra Jazz Band, Judith Durham and the blah, 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 Judith Durham and the blah. And suddenly it was her voice on that Seekers record, just as the Seekers without. Mm. And so there was a little bit of a bump actually going into that. And then she went along with it. But I think also the ride was unusual for her because she was just a very demure, young, sweet, fabulous girl with a big voice, and found herself on this rocket to stardom and was kind of the last one to know what was going on all the time. You know, like we girls, the we've men, got to fluff up, put our makeup on, have something fresh to wear. You'd be told, you're on in 2 minutes, freak out because everyone judges the girl out the front, what she looks like. Yeah. I mean, even Tony LeMond said that, right? That
and who's Tony LeMond?
Was a hoofer, Lolly Legs LeMond, a hoofer and a singer, a triple threat from vaudeville, through to 50s television, 60s television, 70s cabaret and musical theatre, 80s, 90s, right up. Her son, Tony Sheldon, has written a one-woman show for her. Tony Sheldon was in Priscilla, Tony Sheldon. She's had a career span of, 70 years or something. And she said in the early days that she would be told she's on in 5 minutes, 5 seconds half the time, and that the band leader would refuse to play her song in her key.
Oh.
No, really? I'm playing it in this key, All of this kind of power play and rubbish going on in the background at the same time as you have to present this appearance all the time, and yet your main work is your craft and your talent, and then, in the background is kind of broken marriages and domestic abuse and all kinds of stuff is going on.
Now, just quickly, Joan Kerner, an ex-premier, you had to have her in there, and it's great that she is there. But so here's the book. It's wonderful. And, there's so many people that we still could have kept on talking about.
Chrissy Amphlett, Princess Panda.
Yep.
Vali Myers, Vita Goldstein.
The list goes on. Yeah. So the book's out now. What's it called again?
It's called Daughters of Melbourne, A Guide to the Invisible Statues of Melbourne.
And what you do after each of your book releases, because you're an artist as well, a visual artist, you then have prints that your gallery, because you have a gallery upstairs and Melbourne style, and you've got the exhibition starting next Saturday.
Yeah, starts on the 16th.
Yep.
It'll go for 2 or 3 weeks probably. Leave it on.
Right.
And there's some portraits in there that are not in the book because I've just kind of gone beyond and kept going because after you do 50 or however many, you can't stop. It's kind of nice therapy for me after all the heavy research and running around and production and stuff.
And because this artwork, people, you're going to want to buy one of the pieces because they're just so fantastic.
I'm trying to do a sort of a cubisty thing, but, it's a modern digital version of.
Yeah. What's the name of your store? And gallery?
Melbourne Style.
Melbourne Style. What's the address?
155 Clarendon Street, South Melbourne.
And it's run by your adorable husband.
My adorable husband, Lex, with whom I couldn't do it, without whom I couldn't do all this stuff. He's the, absolute backbone.
Yeah. And if you want to go online and check everything out, what is it?
melbournestyle.com.au.
Right, brilliant. Unfortunately, we've run out of time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, David.
Pleasure to have you in.
Oh, it's great to see you again.
and thank you because you've been a big supporter of Joy. Each time we do the Sunday Arts art auction, you always give us some art to auction off. So thank you for helping Joy.
Yeah, it's great to be part of the Joy community. Thanks, David.
Pleasure.
And just like we had Renee Geyer on earlier, who features in the book, we're now going to play a track from Chrissy Amphlett, The Divinals. Obviously, I touch myself because it's such a great tune.
Song.
Fantastic song.
But you have been listening to Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine, and we've been chatting with Marie Coody, who is an artist, an author, and incredibly prolific, about her new book, Daughters of Melbourne. So make sure you check that out. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.